The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying.
Open up eyes here, Lord God. Eyes that have been closed for long. Get there. Open up, Lord God, because you're a faithful God. Hey, Gadada, Yashigada. Open up eyes, Gadigada, Yada. Brightness, Lord. Be removed in this place. Get there. Let vows be broken again. Gadigada, Yashigada, Yagada. Faithful God. Faithful God. Faithful God. Faithful God. Get there. Bring us into inheritances. Get there. Lord Jesus, faithful to do what you promised. Right now, Lord God, break the chains that have held on too long. Break those chains that have held up too long. Faithful God. Faithful God. Magadabaya Shigadaya. Faithful God. Understanding come. Faithful God. Faithful God. Faithful God. Release, release, come. Faithful God. Faithful God. If you trust in his faithfulness, Gadidada, just let it out. Get it. Oh, believe, Gadidada, and you will receive. Get it. Oh, the Lord has stored for you in the season. Oh, just believe once again, and you will receive the grace. Grace be restored. Grace, when they've been lost, grace be restored. Oh, faithful God, grace be restored. Graces. Oh, when I have come to look to you, be the light in you, God. In you, graces. No more flashes. All things are clear. Clarity. No more flashes. Clarity now comes. The doors to clarity are open. Gadagadaya, Shigadaya, Vembrategada. Clarity is come. Get it. Healing now comes. From goodness of the Spirit. Give us wings to fly. Lord God, send ravens. Gadidadaya Shigadaya. Send ravens now. Like you did to Elijah. Send ravens. For all who have obeyed. birds and ravens. Let your eyes now turn in the direction where the ravens now come. Oh Lord God, give the gadaya shiga digade. Ha ha. For all who have passed their test, gede gede gada gada. Send ravens, oh God, gede gadaya. Heaviness within souls. Faithful God. Increasing heaviness. Lord, by your mercies, we are not consumed. Everything that consumes us today, mop it out of the way. Lord Jesus, faithful God, faithful God, faithful God, faithful God, we visit faithful God, faithful God, faithful God, faithful God, faithful God, we visit.
The guards, they will still come back.
Help us be warriors. Help us, Lord, understand warfare. Get us ready, Lord. Trust in your word. You have also given us shield. Shield of salvation. Psalm 18, verse 35. From verse 31. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. Read unto us according to your words, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. The shield. According to the part of the armor of God represents faith. Says the shield of your faith. Says above all, after the other parts, says take the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So that prophecy is asking, where is your faith? It's through faith we are able to withstand and push back attacks. Maybe we should just sit down. Thank you, Father. You know, I find it interesting, Psalm 18, that passage I just read, the first passage here. So I guess the Lord is emphasizing the point. Father, I ask for eyes to see and ears to hear. But help us understand. Give us understanding. Thank you. Amen. So there is war on our hands. Man who is born of woman is born into sin, born into trouble. There is war at work within us. Contentions for God's purposes. Enemies that come. So again, tying all the patterns from last week, Sunday, talking about faith, then remembering the traditions, and then Gideon, and then here we are again today. So this is like a continuation. Ezekiel 16. The Bible defines where we are. It tells us the ancestry, the things he saved us from. These are the things that contend for us. Verse 45. Or you can read verse 3 first. He says, and tell her that this is what the Lord God says to Jerusalem. Your origin and your birth were in the land of the Canaanites. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. Jump to verse 45. You are the daughter of your mother who despised her husband and children. You are the sister of your sisters who despised their husbands and children. Your mother was a Hittite. This is speaking to Israel, God's people. Your mother was a Hittite and your father an Amorite. Next. Your older sister was Samaria, who lived with her daughters to your north. And your younger sister was Sodom, who lived with her daughters to your south. And you not only walked in their ways and practiced their abominations, but soon you were more depraved than they were. It's okay. So you see, the things that the ancestry, in a sense, the things the Lord is saving us from. Hittites, Amorites, those are your mothers and fathers. Till the Lord in verse 3 of this same chapter, I think, of verse 4, sorry. He goes on to say, on the day of your birth, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water for cleansing. You were not rubbed with salt or wrapped in clothes. No one cared enough for you to do even one of these things out of compassion for you. Instead, you were thrown out into the open field because you were despised on the day of your birth. Of course, these are the connections, often the things that often are at work within us. The thing that the Lord Jesus has come to save us from and change our heritage, our inheritance. to separate us from these influences. This is what, when the children of Israel came into the land of Canaan, the promised land, these are the enemies they had to fight and overcome to enter into that promise, the promised land. Now again, for those that don't understand the concept of the promised land is can be seen in three levels. There is you, God's, you are God's promised land. God wants to save you and redeem you from the things, the enemies that have eaten into your soul through different things. Many ways how we get these enemies, the different things we've seen and experienced throughout our lives. Just like the word of God that we should see and test and hear. In the same way, the things we've seen, tested, experienced, heard over the course of our lives, the influences from young youth, whether with parents, neighbors, friends, social media, all these experiences opened us up to different enemies, ranging from lust, anger, bitterness, malice, different ways of thinking, ideologies, things you were kind of born into, some ancestral, your family trait. This is how you are, and it seems recurring cycles, repeated events. These enemies tamper with your inheritance, finding your place in God, the salvation of your spirit, your soul, and your body. Because you are God's promised land, He wants to reclaim you from these enemies. These enemies, from this ancestry. I mean, look at your brothers and sisters and your father. No wonder he keep having repeated battles. Hittite, Amorite, Samaria. You know the history? Hittite, Amorite, they were just the enemies in the promised land. Canaan. Sorry, where they were going into. They were Canaanites, they were other ones. You know? And they had to overcome those enemies to settle in God's promised land. In the same way, there are these enemies in our lives that we have to overcome to be able to settle. And these are the things that keep coming. Like the word says, they keep coming. They keep coming. You must understand this. You must understand the war we face. The war against our souls. You must. And have faith for deliverance. He says, your elder sister was Samaria. Samaria was Israel after captivity. And then there were a mixture. Foreigners came in. The story, God had divided the kingdom. Israel and Judah, they were 12, divided them into the 10 tribes were Israel and 2 tribes were Judah. And a time came in Israel, foreigners came in with their practices and religion, and that became Samaria over time. I'm watching the story. So it shows the mixtures even in our Christian faith. So you see, it's not like all the cities there were all, Sodom is, everyone knows Sodom, right? Bad, bad guys. The world, worldliness, fleshliness in its core. These are the things the blood of Jesus has come to set you free from and cleanse you. You must understand this. So you can be able to keep waging good war. So you can understand, you know, to what the devil has done in the church today. He has taken away our eyes from what are the enemies, the true enemies. And so what a typical and average Christian would define as enemy is poverty, is failure. I don't mean moral failure. You don't see that enough. You don't esteem it enough. We call it weakness. It's a new term for it. It's called weakness. Poverty, accidents. All those things. In fact, some have defined their count fellow brethren, fellow person, whether it's your brother or sister or a neighbor, or like the prayer houses are used to call him, your grandmother in the village, your great grand uncle. Those are now enemies. So focuses have changed. These are enemies. And we lose the enemy. The enemy that opens up the doors to these other enemies. And so your heart begins to lose sight and focus of the battle to pay attention to. So a young man, and all he's thinking, a young man is thinking, is how to make money. It doesn't matter how much his immoral failures are, or how much of a foul talk speak, like talking very foul, saying curse words, saying things that are not cool, using bad words. The Bible warns against those things. It says you can't be part of the kingdom with these things. The average or the young lady is looking for how to, with the feminist movement, how to build her career. So no man can tell her what to do. And these things contend even with the lives of those who should know. So people, we come to a place, even, yes, you've had experienced God, but you feel like you start looking outside. You start looking back at your former house, the Hittites, the Amorites. I hope you know those guys had stuff. Remember when the Bible was telling them, as you go, you're going to a land flowing with milk and honey, with wells that you dig from wells, you drink from wells you've not dug. So things were established. So you're not talking about, these are systems that have been in place. The Lord says to wipe them all out. Wipe, don't go in and want to settle and be one with them and come to treaties. No, we are going to see these things. He says, go in, destroy. You see in Deuteronomy 20, it says, wipe them all out. Understand the concept of the Old Testament and how it applies now. Now, these enemies are within us. Jesus said that the enemies are those of your own household. Again, a popular scripture that the prayer house people have used to define all your family members. But if you understand the concept of your life being a house, then you will understand that just like Jesus even went further to say, he says within you, and he begin to mention different things. Matthew 18, lust, hatred, just different things. These are the enemies. They come. They are the ones that come pursuing. We saw those ones. We saw those ones on Friday, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and people of the East. Things that come after your harvest. Things, Amalekites. You know all these different enemies. They have quite some symbolisms. Amalekites, they come after your, when you're weak. Those old nature that keeps coming back. That keeps coming back. Your old man. Philistines. Philistines are like battles that keep recurring. They don't end. Happy you know, Israel warred with Philistines for a very long time. And consistently, they would rise in different seasons and God would keep using David till he took over their cities. Just like the Lord Jesus will do if we trust and follow him. Now understand this and know that there is war on our hands. So it helps you have a consciousness. So again, what the devil has also done with false gospel, he says don't have sin consciousness. He says don't be conscious of sin. Let's take away, don't feel shame anymore. We're going to see all these things. Don't feel shame. Just every human being is the same. Everyone is struggling with this. No, God wants us to come out from that ancestry. Go back to verse 4 of Ezekiel 16. Or is it 3? 4. It says, your cord was not cut. You were not separated from that system. Your mother, your old nature. That is how many of us. This is a classic. What God does for us when we come to know him. Pay attention. Your cord was not cut. We're not washed with water for cleansing. You're not cleansed of that old nature. The things that you came with from the mother's womb, from this other ancestry, Hittites and Amorites. Those things that many of us are born with, some. It's like traits. Some. It came in two different things, like I said. You were not rubbed with salt. I hope you know salt is not a very friendly thing. Bible says in the book of Matthew, Jesus says that everyone, every sacrifice will be salted with fire. So when the Bible says, everyone shall be salted with fire and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Go back. So when the Bible says, we're not rub with salt, understand it. That you didn't allow his fire. The Bible says his words are like fire. He's a consuming fire. The words of God. You're not rubbed with salt. So you didn't allow, salt. They use it for wounds, for dead things. You rub it on stuff. It kills germs. It kills things. That's what God's fire does. Now, this is where many people, when they came to know God, did not allow themselves to go through the process. And that's why you seem stuck to your ancestry. When you came to know God, when the Lord God cut your cords, saw you and defined you as his own, did you submit under the washing of the waters for cleansing by his word? Ephesians 5:26, the washing of the waters are the words of God. Cleanse, that to sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Stocks of sanctification, cleansing from old natures. Were you not robbed? You were not robbed with salt. You didn't allow God's separation processes, those things that are painful. And this is something very important for new believers. This is the process when God finds you in your helpless state. This is the things he wants to do. These are the things that later on in this chapter he complained about and brought judgment on them. Did you, and these are the things often that has affected some of our foundations of standing as a child of God, as a disciple, as one who God wants to call his own and his people and use. These things, many of us had not gone through it enough as at the early stages. He didn't allow him rub you with salt. The fiery process, leave that relationship because his word says so. Then you have to break away. Do not entertain that company anymore. Stop running after money and looking for every opportunity. It's distracting you from the focus. The salt that we are to be rubbed with. Pause all you're doing. Pause for now. Just pause. Rest. See, right now, don't do anything much. You have food to eat, you have water, yes. Pause and grow in God. No, I want to. So you didn't cultivate a certain nature as is expected. Neither were you wrapped in clothes, a covering. He goes on to define the covering. You see it in verses 10. You even see him, maybe just read down so you see that he did these things. So he said, just keep going, verse 5. No one cared enough for you to do any of these things. You read this, verse 6. Then I passed by and saw you wallowing in your blood. And as you lay there in your blood, I said to you, leave. There I said to you, leave life from death. That's what happened. That's why they cut the cords. When a new child is born, you keep it connected to the mother. The old blood and other things can infect and affect the child. That's just the simple way of saying it. So there has to be cut so that the child can learn to survive. New processes, new things, new definitions, things. God begins to arrange systems in place. And this is what people refuse to cut away from. They want to keep that sustenance to that old things. You still want to maintain your sustenance. So I can't know how will I survive if I walk away. How will I survive if I stop thinking like this? You want me to be poor? You want to kill me? You want to kill me? You're cutting the cord. I thought that was my... You're about to cut... Verse 7. I made you thrive like a plant of the field. So this is what he does later. You grew up and matured and became very beautiful. I hope you know what makes plants to thrive is water. So that's the washing of the waters, you see. One of the things very necessary for plants to thrive. So he introduces you to his words. And you grew up and matured and became very beautiful. Now this is in retrospective, okay, but we are learning from it. Your breasts were formed and your hair grew, but you were naked and bare. Then I passed and saw you, and you were indeed old enough for love. So I spread my cloak over you and covered your nakedness. So God becomes your source of protection and security. Covers you from the warmth of this world. One of the first things they do to a child. It helps regulate the temperature within. That's what God's covering does to you. It comes in and helps calm things. And he says, so I spread my cloak over you and covered your nakedness. I pledged myself to you, entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine. You're going to see how he covers, what he covers you with, declares the Lord your God. Then I bathed you with water, again, the picture, rinsed off your blood, anointed you with oil. I clothed you in embroidered cloth and gave you sandals of fine leather. I wrapped you in fine linen and covered you with silk. These were the dress of priests. In the Old Testament, you can find it if you see it, and maybe put it out there. This is how priests were dressed. This is what the Lord wants to cover us in. You are a kingdom of priests. That's what you are called to be. A holy nation, a peculiar people, set apart, different from others in how they present. The word holiness means to be set apart, to be different. This is what God, by his covering, does. He separates us. He makes us look different from the other nations. So the Lord wants a priestly covering, a covering of consecration and holiness, which many reject. Listen, I hope you notice, the first thing he did was he had already told him to leave, right? And then later, I noticed it wasn't everything at once. He had separated them, like some of us, separated from the world. Had begun to give them their words. They began to find some life and grow. But some, this is where they refuse. The covering of the Lord, the thing that makes them. So they will be calling me pastor, papa. No, this God thing, we love God. I drink, I'm a thriving plant. I know God a bit, I'm born again. I gave my life to Christ. But you see this priestly covering you want to put on me? No. I don't want. Let's just do God the way we can. Don't take it too serious now. That's life. Let's take life JJly. You know, there's certain expectations the Lord wants of those who he calls his own, of those who is involved in their separation. Next. I adorned you with jewelry, so part of his covering, and put bracelets on your wrist and a chain around your neck. Now, this is a scripture people use as an excuse for many things. But Proverbs 1, from verse 6 to 8, explains this. From verse 8, rather. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother, for they are garland of grace on your head and a pendant around your neck. So what is the decoration? What are the jewelry? Verse 8. Your father's instruction and the teachings of your mother, which in summary are the words of God. This is what God decorates us with further on our necks. Why your neck? Because it's a picture of the yoke of the Lord, which he wants to place on you. We see these patterns in scripture. The yoke of the Lord he places on you through his instructions. So he's bound on your neck like a yoke, which you should obey. You will feel it. There's nothing like I wore a pendant or a necklace and I didn't feel it. You feel the presence. It's a weight connected to obeying his words. This is how the Lord dresses us. And I'm just saying, giving us a review for those, just for anyone here who has made a choice to follow God and separate, and have refused to go through these processes. Have refused to allow God's laws bind their necks, their wrists, the works of their hands. Your neck too is connected to your mind. The neck is out. Your thoughts, your patterns, you can't breathe, you don't have life. So it also speaks of the ordering of your affairs, your mind being surrounded and consumed with the laws of God. These are the things the enemy fights. This is what the Lord wants to establish when he finds his lost children. Go through the processes. Stop deceiving yourself. Now, I've been caught and I have some water. Stop rejecting the Lord's covering and the Lord's yoke on your neck. You won't be able to overcome the battles and come into your inheritance. So you have Psalm 18 telling us of the Lord's desire to save. This is the faith we contend for. Remember last Sunday, for those of us that were here, in the last days, Jesus said, when I come, will I find faith? When he returns, will I find faith? So faith is something that often the enemy is fighting. These are what these enemies within us fight. They fight your ability to have faith. What is faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the words of God. And so the Bible tells you to contend for it, to contend for the faith, to fight for it. So the enemy comes and makes us weak, unable to contend for the faith. That's what Jesus warned Peter about when he told him that the enemy has asked to sift him. And he said, but I'll pray for you that your faith will not fail. Understand the battle. That's why the whole thing about shield. Remember the word? Where is your shield? Where is your faith? Because you cannot resist. You won't resist those things without faith. That's what they come to take. And if you don't have it, you can't resist them. Some, you have it, but the enemy comes to steal it, make you lose trust in him. And so, like I overheard when you raised the prayer point, so you call the Lord, you ascribe unfaithfulness to the Lord because battles hit you and you think that the Lord is not strong to deliver. You don't understand that the enemy is succeeding when you have those thoughts patterns. He's fighting for the faith that you have. The faith is that God can deliver. You are saying the Lord cannot deliver. That I don't think this serious God thing is cut out for me. I've tried it before. I don't think it worked. I've tried overcoming this battle of sleep. I don't think God can help. I think this is my weakness. I've tried. Question: how much faith have you gathered? We are going to see these patterns as we read through the scriptures. Psalm 18, he says, for who is God except the Lord? We already read it. And who is a rock except our God? So he begins to tell you that God is rock. He's a secure foundation. He's something to stand on. You can trust in him. He doesn't fail. He doesn't shake. You can keep trusting. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet as steady as a deer. That's when he says, as my feet like those of a deer. The concept is as steady. It's stable. The deer's feet can be quite stable in its race and other things. And stations me upon the heights. That is, it keeps him on places that may look like they can fall off. But the Lord can keep you and stabilize you. This is what the Lord can do. Fine. Then he says, he teaches my hands to war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. So one of the ways the Lord helps us fight war is through teachings, which is why the enemy attacks having understanding, having coming to sit down here and hear the word of God, having to develop a personal Bible study life and reading. You come, you sleep. In your personal space, sleep is worrying you. Through the backlash, the attacks of the enemy, you can forget the laws of God. The enemy attacks those things. Why? Because the Lord often loves to teach your hands to war. So he uses experiences, he uses those situations as classes. He's teaching you. And if you learn to see the perspective that, oh, God is teaching me, oh, that this attack of lust, like we have to use lust a lot because that's the present tense warning in the house. An attack of lust. And if you understand that, oh, the Lord is training me to overcome these thought patterns, that these are paths. You see in Psalm 3, it says, Psalms 3, I think it's verse, sorry, Psalms 5 verse 8. It says, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Are you seeing this? So it's like, just because they are enemies, opportunities to be led in righteousness abound. Having this perspective to battles can do a lot for you. When you understand that, oh, this is an opportunity to be led on a path of righteousness where I overcome. What we often ask is, God, I don't want this thing. I want it to end. I want it to disappear. Then how will his word be true where he says, I am teaching your hands to war? And like the other Psalm will say, Psalm 144, and your fingers to fight. How would the word of God be true? How would you become like David? How will you be an overcomer? An overcomer is someone that overcame. So there was something that you overcame. God is not making, I often say, God is not making escapers. People that, suddenly all temptation disappeared. I escaped. No, God is training overcomers. People that will learn to overcome. And sometimes, till you learn, you're going to see it there. Just after this, he says, you have also given me the shield of your salvation. So he begins to tell the things that amount to victory. Note them. Teaching his hands first. You must first know the Lord God can. He's strong. He's a rock. He's able to set you free. He's steady. He is God. He can. You must first know. Let him... How do you say in Hebrews 11? Sometimes, quoting scripture. Let him that believes first believe that he is. Without faith, it's possible to please God, because anyone who approaches him must believe that first he is. So he must first believe that he can. So the devil often fights our ability to believe that he can. At this stage of your life, you should come to a place where you don't, it's non-negotiable. God can. I can overcome this. Doesn't matter how long it takes. I will wait on the Lord. We are going to see it very soon. That's the next chapter we are going to. Doesn't matter how long. God can. That's first you must, the first thing you must know. God can. Then next, you must be willing to allow him teach you. To allow him teach your hands to war. You must submit to his teachings. So the devil fights that. So we want prayer. He didn't say, I pray the war out. He says, I'll teach your hands to war. It's something that I often think many of us still don't understand. That's why those battles don't stop. He's teaching your hands to war with an aim to overcome, that you may be considered worthy of this cause. Then he gives you the shield of your salvation, which is a picture of faith. Same pattern. In fact, everything is all encompassed in the words of God. The shield of your salvation. Your right hand has helped me. You say, the other place says, you uphold me with your right hand of righteousness. So these are the things the Lord begins to teach you. Faith, righteousness. Your gentleness has made me great. Humility. So these are the things that stand between our understanding that he is and being able to pursue our enemies. Next verse. You enlarge my path under me so my feet did not slip. And then verse 37. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. Are you seeing the process? First, he is. Then when you know he is, through the classes of teachings, understanding faith, reminding yourself of the words of God. It doesn't matter if it's the 100th time. Joshua 1 verse 8, popular scripture. That this word of the Lord, book of the law, will not depart from your mouth. You will meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do. Did you see so that? It's straightforward. So the Bible is just telling you that being able to meditate on his words day and night will help you to observe carefully what is written in it. Simple strategy. I find it difficult to obey. Do you meditate on his words day and night? So do you see what the devil attacks? Your inability to meditate on his words day and night. By meditating, it's not just sitting down in one place and closing your eyes and doing yoga. In case you are here and you think that you can access the spirit realm by just closing your eyes and just humming sounds. Be careful so a demon does not whisper into your ears. You want to hear God. He told you what to meditate on. We come and we say, I want to meditate in the spirit. This is how some of us enter trouble. He told you what to meditate on. He says, meditate on what? New age Christian. Empty head. Because they taught you how to meditate. That's how voices came to speak to you. Told you that you were called to the nations. And then from there you stood up and started going after the principalities over nations. And as you're going about the principalities over nations, because those things are not your mates, like we thought they were. Wrestle against principalities and powers.
He has given them under my feet.
Things that have existed before you were born?
No, but in Christ Jesus, I am.
You've not finished dealing with lust. As you stood up from there, that same day, that evening, lust came after you. That evening, pornography hit you. Masturbation. As you stood up, these are stories I've heard people tell me. Personally, had purpose. Because they were going after things that are not. You're not finished dealing with demons. See, demons, the spirits that you should deal with, the one he gave you authority to cast out. The things here on this realm. It says, principalities and powers in heavenly places. Heavenly, we say hi. But in heavenly places, those things are. Those things are. Have you read Colossians 1, where the Bible says he positions them? Almost sounds like he has a pact with them. Very interesting. Then you go. They don't send you just because they told you that you have a right to your father's inheritance. So you went after the uncle that has been planning to take over your inheritance. 2-year-old child. Just because they told you. Daddy came and said, you know, Johnny, one day you will be the head to everything I have. You did not hear one day. You heard hair. That's all you heard. You forgot Galatians 5 that told you, even though they are heirs, first, they will be slaves. No process, nothing. Which slavery have you gone through? No, the slavery of fasting for 24 hours prayer. That's your definition of slavery. That you fasted and prayed for 24 hours. Dry. You know that dry? That when your truth is actually dry. Dry. That's not how spiritual things work. You deal with, he has given us power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. They are in the earth realm. That's the realm we are. The things within our realm. Demons and unclean spirits. That's what you go after. Deal with those ones first. Then maybe God will find you worthy in the course of spiritual battles. And one day, like a few stories you've heard, Prophet Sadu, and he's praying and he sees an angel stands before him, I think, if I remember the story well, and gives him a spear in the spirit and says, go, I'm going to send you to go after something. The Lord that sends you, when the Lord sends you, you have backing. When he don't send you, no backing. 2-year-old Johnny. Uncle, I know what you are trying to do. You have no power over me, uncle. They didn't send you. My daddy says, I am a heir. I know my right as a child of God. I know my right in Christ Jesus. You cannot take it from me. Uncle, I say to you, oh. That's how you lost your mind for a brief season of your life. Depression came after you. You could not believe it. Anxieties. Some, it was even physical. They harmed you. And you were saying this, you are boasting of the scars of my warfare. Which scars? Nobody sent you. You are like a child who went out to play and had wounds. And but they said, sit down in the house and eat food. Nobody sent you. Stop boasting. Stop that. Stop it. Before the next time you boast, something slaps you that night. No, even probably if you notice, check what the days you boast, that night they press you. Look, understand spiritual things. Focus on your enemy. You've not finished fighting sergeants. You went after generals. Ah. Again, when this happens, I forget where I came from. I always forget. Where did I come from? This digression I entered. Lord, yes, thank you. Meditating. So I guess that was for someone. When I forget. Or for some people. He meditates on his words. On his words. On his words. On the whole word, not just the promises. Every part of the word, because they are that other generation. I will be the head and not the tail. I will be the head and not the tail. I will be the head and not the tail. You ran into Deuteronomy 28 and quoted just the first few verses. While living like the last verses. Now really, you don't know. Deuteronomy 28 is a whole chapter of a few verses of God blessing those who obey him. And cursing those who disobey him. So you live in disobedience and claim. You think because they taught you, decree what you believe, what you declare. Is who you are. I am, somebody say, I am what I believe. Somebody say, I am what I declare. So declare the words of God. Declare it. Sinner like you, you've not finished dealing with out of your mouth comes bitter water and clean water from your mouth. Both. You've not finished dealing with saying you are foolish. Thunder fire you. You want to declare. If God takes you seriously, you've not finished dealing with the depression that when he comes, he tells you, I am useless. I am nothing. If God wants you to take everything you declared serious, I am useless. Just become useless. Walk through life. You'll be wondering why somehow you're just... No, you think it's only... Okay. Oh, you just want good things. Wow. That's why God, in God's mercy, he took away some authority from our lips. You have to earn it. Because if we are to have the power we have through our words, as you say, thunder fire you, someone will just be experiencing thunder within them. Say, you are mad. You are mad. As you say, me, I decrease. People will start losing clothes. So in God's mercy, so that you want to have authority with your lips, let life come from it. Practice it. So that when you say, be healed in Jesus' name, you see healings. God, if you want God to take your mouth, your words, honor, like Samuel, then you must learn to guard your lips and say only that which is important, which the Lord says, the Lord wants. And this is serious. Sometimes this word will change the situations in your life. Your situation is connected to the words. You are a product of your words, of everything you've said. The things you stood on the mirror and defined yourself as. Stood on the mirror and began to tell yourself, this is me. I am this. I am that. See me. Am I not fine? All the guys will die. Then you are complaining why they are checking you up and down. I don't even know. Complaining why both ugly and all are coming after you. Wondering why you are full of temptations. Why a spirit of seduction entered you. Came into that mirror. Stood there. And said, girl, if I die. That's how he came in. And maybe you have to, as we are praying, make sure you ask God. I wonder, so a demon, it comes like a smell. Sometimes I've smelt it on some ladies. It's like you can smell it around you. And I'll just say, it doesn't have to be even fine. I've smelt seduction on the ones that are not very fine. I know probably they grew up just low self-esteem finished you. So you wished to be fine. You wished seduction and lust over your life. You wished it. Just because you wanted to be like Ngozi, the fine girl. So you have to ask God to forgive you for agreeing with the enemy. The devil heard you and said, yes. So he came in and his perfume has been on you. And seduction, people, different. You have a seductive smell constantly. People around you, they always want to have their way with you. You can't have a normal relationship with someone. Okay, meditate on... Back to Joshua 1, verse 8. Meditate on his words. All his words. Not some. All his words. Meditate on the words that says, like the song, memory verse I heard is awesome. I have been crucified with Christ, right? It's no longer I that live. Meditate on that too. It's the sum of his words that is truth. The totality of it. Not some, not part. It's all of his words. Back to Joshua 1, verse 8. Meditate on it day and night. So that you may be. The word meditate is from the Greek word or Hebrew, which means to murmur. So a practice they would of the Jews of the time. They would say, so you have to have all these recitations for different things. They would recite, in fact, before they enter the toilet itself. It's a whole prayer they pray. Very interesting. Father, I bless you for all the holes in my body. Thank you that we have holes. This is gone like very interesting. I read it once. I think we read it here once in church. It was very interesting to see. So they would, as a practice, they would say the words of God consistently over different things. That's how. And it's one thing I keep saying. You ask me, how do I overcome all my battles? How am I able to? Every battle I've overcome. Is that this principle? I remember when Pastor taught us in the warehouse, it's like my eyes went, Oh, meditate on his words day and night so that you may be careful to do. Okay. So all I just need to do is keep reminding myself of God's word consistently. So as I'm going through that lustful like this season, begin to, as the thoughts come, the thoughts from past come, you begin to go. Like 2 Thessalonians 4. Or first, I will not give in to the desire that the people of the world do. I will not give in. I rebuke you. Get out now. I'm not calling. I'm not going there. I am not. Get out in Jesus' name. You stay at it. Stay till it breaks. Say, I'm tired of fighting. Are you tired of eating? Some of you have issues. You have demons. So you need to pray for you so you know how to eat. Keep wondering why I keep falling sick. Keep falling sick every time I'm sick. Your immune system is sick. I eat food. Be eating food. So eat food and eat food. Practice. Say, you know me, I don't like this kind of food. Eat fruit. Eat oranges. You see, you stop falling sick often. Practice. Meditate on his words. Then Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He says, He will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. So when enemies come, whenever the enemies come, what's the one thing you should always think of? There's a table that the Lord can prepare in the presence of my enemies. There is a table. There is a table for feasting. That's the concept. For feasting. So they would food. So you can feast on God. A funny principle a pastor taught us some years back. And I use it a lot. I use it at different times. Say the lost battle is hitting you like you want to cry. Stand up from that. Carry your Bible and read out aloud. Yeah, I'll advise you. Read Proverbs. So when you get to chapter 5, avoid the kisses of the immoral woman. The lost will just disappear. You say, yeah, it's true. Hey, Jesus, thank you, Father. That's gone. Read Proverbs. Read chapter from verse chapter 1. Start from 3. Do not go near her path, for her path leads to death. The thing will just run away. The other thing is, he taught us to do. You say, pray in the spirit. You say, pray. In fact, you say, pray for Nigeria. Don't just say, Father, deliver me. Carry. You have come. Oh, God, thank you for Nigeria. Nigeria is blessed. Kalida, Yashitata. I bless you, Lord, for Nigeria. Oh, the lost. I bless you, Lord. You can keep your eyes open. Maybe close your eyes. The thoughts are increasing. Keep your eyes open. I bless you, Lord, for Nigeria. Thank you, Father. Pray for me. Ah, thank you for Brother Michael. Help him to sweat less. Help him, Father. What is my prayer? I'm giving prayer points. How can I forget? This is my opportunity. Chance. Find some. Meditate on his words, on the principles of his words, they are the principles of his words. Some of them are defined in our parapet that we try to share in the different classes. In the different classes we have, BBS, which holds on Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, our Believers Bible School, where we teach on certain principles, these principles here. Foundational principles of Christ. We share these things. If you come early on a Sunday morning, you may be attached by 8, you may be attached to a class that will teach you some of these principles. They are principles to guide yourself with. Meditate on it day and night. Ah, I can assure you, you will just be finding the ability to obey. It's like grace comes. Why? Because like David says, we'll soon see it. Oh, one thing I desire is to behold the beauty of your face. Do you know what the word beauty is there? The word there is grace. So it's not just, oh, to just look at his loveliness. How Jesus is fine. No, that is like, as this is your desire to behold the beauty of his face. That the word there is grace, the delight, his favor, grace. That's what practicing this does. It releases grace on you. And like his promise, go back, like his promise, he says that you will. No, Joshua 1 verse 8. Says that you will be careful to do everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in all you do. A popular scripture that has also been misquoted to mean money. But like we all know, Joshua did not... This is Joshua, right? Not like Joshua was... now had like the success was not that he had plenty money. Yes, they plundered different things from war. Which is often what comes with fighting the battles of the Lord. He's able to take care of you. The focus is not the money. It's not the gold. Are you following? The focus here, the success. Oh, see, listen. If your life is consistently just thinking of the kingdom of God being done in your life and in others, overcoming the things that dispossess your inheritance. This is the promised land. This is Joshua entering the promised land. This is him fighting. If you're constantly going after those things and in other people's lives, God finds a way of taking care of you, like he did with these ones. So this is the struggle often, and he will test you. If you're meditating on his word, it's so that you can go in there and be like Achan, who desired gold. You see it in the story of Joshua, who desired gold, money, and cost his people battles. Or if your desire is to truly see the Lord established in your life and in the life of others. So the prosperity here is not the prosperity of money. It's the prosperity of victories over the things that have eaten your soul. These enemies, these things, these Hittites and Amorites, these ancestral things, ancestral spirit, these are the Mpofo. This is the spiritual Mpofo. Mpofo means Mpo. Things of Ufo. Of your house. Now, this is the spiritual version. Hittites Mpofo. Amorites Mpofo. At work in your spirit, man. Work in your nature. This is what God cleanses us. That's why he comes, saves us, spirit, soul, body. Go back to Psalm 18. I pursue and overtook all my enemies until they were. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back until they were consumed. Listen, there are enemies you go after. If you look at the stories, there are enemies that the Lord gives you. Go ahead, like David. Can think of three examples. Let's start with the first, Abraham. And they had captured his brother and his family, and he pursued and overtook. Second example, Joshua and the Gibeonites, who were like family to them. And they were threats against the Gibeonites, and they went after the enemies. In fact, that story of the sun standing still. You know the story of the sun standing still? Joshua, they fought till the sun stood still. Well, not because they were fighting necessarily for them. They were fighting for people. The third, David and the Amalekites. These are enemies you go after. You don't just sit down and relax. The Amalekites. And he pursued. He asked, that's the one that they asked, Lord, should I go after? And the Lord said, yes. And he pursued and overtook them. Listen, when you learn to see the threats, the things that threaten your being part of God's family, the things that threaten your unity with brethren, these things at work within us, when you desire to reclaim the things that will separate you from your brethren, these enemies, then it's like God gives grace, like he did with Joshua. I mean, if you see the story of Joshua, he kept going. One is like in one campaign, he attacked one enemy nation, attacked the next, and they swept through cities. This is the attitude God wants us to have. Overtake, pursue, and overtake. That's where many of us are relaxed. Some we start pursuing, but we do not go stay till it is totally consumed. We stop halfway. I'm not going to expose myself a lot to social media. For example, I want to buy my time. I want to recover my time. So you block social media, but you have a whole bank of movies. Like you have a storehouse of movies. What's the difference? One is social media movies, short ones. This one is media, not social. But it's media. There's media in both of them. You did not. I thought you were on project recover my time. It's like something I did some days back. YouTube short. So this is more confession. YouTube short. God has to forgive YouTube on their shorts. Shots fire. Shots that short. And I remember one morning, supposed to have was doing or one night, and again, and I'm like, eh? This thing is an enemy. 30 minutes just left. Sorry, no, it was 1 hour. A whole hour of my time. And this morning I went and said, Sister Marachi, come. There's one YouTube. This is how your YouTube used to look like. I don't know how it is. They can off settings. Please let me off it. I'm tired of, you know, I have self-control. I've been losing self-control at this trick. 1 hour is enough to read the Bible a lot. Or finish some duty. Or some responsibility. Or check up on someone. Or just do, there's a lot. You know how much 1 hour is? Some of us, you are very funny. You left IG, left Twitter, you left Facebook. You deceive yourself. I'm looking up for business opportunity. Have you found? How many years now? You keep deceiving yourself. Don't you know clearly that that is your enemy. You end a relationship with someone. I didn't go bad by going bad. I didn't say you went bad. It's an acronym for block and delete. You did not go bad. You sustain the number, saying in your mind, don't worry, I'm going to try to evangelize to. You know, Clay, this is an enemy, this woman being. This woman, not human, woman being. Once I'm in her space, I lose self-control. Like self-control is gone. I'm high. She's like wine to you. And you you sustain her friend. You ended with how, you understand, but you keep asking her friend. You sustain her friend. How? What's your plan? You sustain the friends around her. You did not keep up, you know, that enemy is not consumed. It will come back to bite. When friends start telling friends to tell friends what friends said. Do you understand that analogy? Then friendships can be built again because this is a fourfold cord, a threefold cord of friendship, a long list of friends. We must pursue our enemy. This is what we have to ask God to help us to do. All of us, we've not gone after enemies enough. Enemy of sleep. Let's come to the one that is very simple. Pursue. Okay, you raise your hands. You've been taught pinch. You may be pinch. But you see your buttocks and that's it. It's a lie. We have made a covenant with the seat that I shall never stand up. How can I depart from the old seat? No. I'm fighting you. I'm pursuing. But you see this buttocks and my seat? Oh, now, how my buttocks have fresh air? How will it be free? No. It's glued. So you sleep throughout. Like some of you have caught you sleeping in this meeting. I'm talking about your enemies. You are sleeping in my meeting. You have mine. I see you. You cannot hide from me. I see your friends that are overcoming now. You know, they are not consumed. Now some of you stand and are consumed. I've seen people stand and are consumed. they were consumed. I don't know. Some you need prayers, you need to be healed, then some you need to change certain habits. And some you need to not believe the lies the enemy tell you. Verse 38. I crushed them so that they could not rise. Are you seeing? They have fallen under my feet. What does this sound like? The God of peace shall? What are we supposed to pursue again? Pursue peace and holiness. Are you seeing the combinations? Peace with God and peace with man. When you pursue that, I hope you know you're going after every enemy. Lost. If you love God, you will not. If you want peace with God, you will not want to do that evil with your sister, that sister. You understand? If you want peace with her too, you won't want to make her feel that guilty. You want peace with man. You will overcome selfishness. You overcome bitterness, malice. You won't keep people at heart because you are pursuing peace with man. Pursuing peace with man. Peace with God and peace with man. Pursue it. He tells you what to pursue. That's how. So you're asking, how do I pursue my enemies? Pursue peace with God and man. Pursue peace with God and man. And you will have learned to pursue your enemies. Always ask yourself, am I at peace with God with this? Is God at peace with me? This mind, and like most battles start, it starts in the mind. Because that's where the warfare really starts from. So you don't wait till it manifests physically and you say that, but I've tried. No, you start pursuing peace with God in your mind. Because often, first, God is a spirit. So in your heart, in your spirit man, you pursue peace within. And you rebuke those thoughts before it manifests. It often first starts like desire. That's what James 1 says. All sin starts first as a desire. And then it progresses to sin. So you have to crush so that they could not rise, for they have fallen under your feet. Next verse. You have armed me with strength for battle. You have subdued my foes beneath me. You have also given me the neck of my enemies, so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind. I ground them as dust. I crushed my flesh as dust before the Spirit of God. I yield my flesh totally. That's, you want to, how to crush? Huh? This is how to crush. You yield your flesh. You yield that desire. It's overwhelming. But you remember the wind of God, the Spirit of God. You trample it like mud in the street. You cast it away towards its, where it's its place. You give it its place. This is dirt. This, listen, some of us, you've not defined your battles enough. You've not defined your enemies. One of the first principles of warfare is to know your enemy. You've not yet realized or called it an enemy. It's something that's a weakness. Some, you have an enemy, it's bad. You want God to deal with it. But you're focused on that enemy, ignoring the other enemy of, for example, the lack of fear of God. You want God to somehow deliver you from lack, and you and God are not at peace. So your enemy is poverty, lack. But you're not at peace with God. So you just want God to come and step in and just change your situation. You want God to deliver you from immorality or a lustful nature. But you don't deal with the enemy of lack of fear of God. You don't deal with the enemy of complacency that doesn't care. You've not dealt with it. Just on the thing itself. Sometimes God wants you to deal with, to define your enemies. Know them. Address them for what they are. There is one way you treat a snake in this hall. One way. In our exams hall, one day we're writing exams and snake. In the middle of exams. And snake crawled up the wall. Very funny. The snake is here. People are sitting down there. Screaming. Females, of course. Screaming. They're like, the snake is here. Jesus. Of course, the men are cheating in the behind. Opportunity. The serpent created opportunity for the... But that was a classic. I was sitting there in front too. And I could see, I was just looking around. I said, hey. See snake for the... Snake, they go up. They go in way. You there, yeah. This shout. Small, tiny snake. Not even big one. They're shouting. The snake is going now. Bye-bye, snake. Now I know we tried to kill it. It doesn't come back. All of that. But it was just funny. So you see, human nature knows enemies. And there was one response. Screams and proper responses. We don't have proper responses sometimes to sin. That's why they come back. Faith teaches us, the shield of faith teaches us to hate wickedness and love righteousness. Well, this is in my life, I was praying that prayer point a lot. I think I had some angelic encounter, and one of the words he left me with was, that scripture, thou hate. He was talking about the scepter of righteousness. Show it. He says, you want to have the scepter of righteousness. authority in doing right. He said, thou love righteousness and hate wickedness. I remember, yes, remember it was a prophetic word I got at the time. And the word said, they saw me fighting in a battle, in a wrestling ring, you know, and I was fighting some spirit. And the person said, I can't remember right now the word, but the summary of the word was, I had not learned to hate that thing enough. I'd just been suppressing the thoughts just because you're in God's lighthouse, you understand? No? So I cannot do certain things. But your heart has not learned to hate. Have a proper hatred. You've not yet learned to trample death on the street, to give it its place. You recognize this is death. I can't put myself in this mud. This is death. No, God forbid. And so one of the things I started praying for consistently was, God, please. Now, after something did me, you know, some of us, we are slow to obey. But as I went into repentance, that was my prayer point for a while. Still is. But there was a season he was very emphatic. Lord, teach me to hate wickedness and love righteousness. I don't hate wickedness enough, Lord. God, I don't think I hate wickedness. I don't hate this thing. I'm just not trying to do, you know, just because of you, I know, but God, my heart doesn't hate it. I feel that it comes to mind and it can entice me. When you don't hate wickedness, it will entice you, which is how the enemy tempts us. It entices us. So many of us, listen, some of you, you are going through what some of you knew about people. Let me warn you. This is, I always like free advice. Some of you, yeah, you're enjoying some form of respite, something called respite, where certain battles are not, these are things I've noticed in certain, I'm not saying the same for everybody, but for some people, you come to know God, yay, ginger, 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 swagger, 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 repose. And you're all, then seasons of testing comes. And I've seen the most excited fall away. I've seen people, I remember one brother of ours, there was someone under my care. And I will keep warning him and telling him, I admire your zeal and excitement. But you see some of these things that you still find it. So example, let's say for example, he would, that thing I said on Friday. Even though eventually he did obey, but I remember for a while, you struggle with having to deal with his songs. He deleted old songs, but the kind of Christian songs he got, just know that this man's old flesh, this flesh has not died. Because he was not Lecrae. He was, what are their names again? I'm not discrediting them. I'm saying, just, all these, you know, these upbeats. So just to maintain the vibe, the Christian songs. And I would just see some of these traits and I would warn him. And truly, seasons of testing came. And a once super excited brother, he went into seasons of multiple levels of, so again, I think what happened to him, you know that shock of, how can I? So what happened to some of us? How, I thought I would never ever be able to. Wow, Jesus, little Jesus. Jesus made perfect. Don't be shocked. And never be shocked that when you do things, just know it is evil in you. It's your aunt, your uncle folk, they came for you. Either Hittites or Amorites or Sodom or Samaria, they came. Your ancestry came calling. They came knocking. All you do is run to the one who can cleanse you again and salt you and put you on with new clothes. Back to Psalm 18. I trampled them like mud in the street. Psalm 27. Popular scripture. Psalm 27 from verse 1. Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Some of us, you grew up knowing this now. Now you are keeping quiet. I teach you, if you not know Psalm 91, you knew, I'm not calling John 3:16. At least Psalm 91, now we knew that one now. Our parents had to flog us to recite it. Say, come on, you want them to press you at night? Could you see it? Say it.
My child, say it.
He was just going grudgingly. He that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. He had no understanding what you were saying. Some of you are saying yes. Some of you don't even see understand what it means. He that dwell in the secret place of the Most High. It's like those people that like declaring things. You don't declare dwelling. You dwell. Because there's a generation that likes to declare and decree. And it shall come to pass. Don't declare dwelling. Stop it. Stop deceiving yourself. I declare and decree. My God, if God is for me, who can be against me? You. You. Me? And me? Yes. There's wickedness in your life. Your mouth is bad. Yes, madam, I'm sorry. Your mouth is really bad. Ma, change your mouth. If you change your mouth, maybe God will have mercy on your soul. Your mouth is like arrow that flies at night. So that scripture, you are the one sending it at yourself. Your mouth, you are the 10,000 on the right side. You cannot come near yourself. You are the enemy. Ma, please, deal with your mouth. Ask God to help you. Learn consciously, like, I had people that would spank my head when I was learning how to stop saying the F word and S-H-I-T. Sister Peace that year. I remember I was dragging my ear in front of her one. You this boy, stop talking. Stop talking rubbish. So I had people that would spank me and remind me. Sometimes you repent there on the spot. Oh, I'm sorry. Ah, God, forgive me. I just said, these little things that look like nothing. You are a very disrespectful fellow. You've not yet learned how to respect even your neighbors, your brethren. They can talk to you, you talk back. And fight and argue or ignore. You are the enemy. The things within your mind are the arrows that fly in your night. Lord is my salvation and my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I dread? When the wicked come upon me to devour my flesh, my enemies and foes stumble and fail. Though an army encamps around me, my heart will not fear. Though a war breaks out against me, I will keep my trust. Beautiful passage, right? And let's go to the one. We finish declaring. So we declare, I will keep my trust. You say it. Ah, Lord, I will keep my trust. But you see number verse 4. One thing I have asked of the Lord. This is what I desire. To dwell in the house of the Lord. Wait. Enemies around me. And the one thing I'm desiring is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord. I already explained that, right? And seek him in his temple. To dwell in the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord. Not physical building, not church. Jesus is the house of the Lord. No one can come through the Father except through him. He's the way. Jacob had an experience of angels ascending and descending in a place called, and he named that place, he called it Bethel. He called it the house of God. Years later, Nathaniel meets Jesus. And Jesus says the same thing. Angels ascending and descending, but this time on the Son of Man. So can we substitute Son of Man for the house of the Lord? Jesus is the house of the Lord that you dwell in. In my Father's house, there are many. Some of you know it, that's why. Let's help the new people. There are many rooms, not mansions. There are many rooms. The word money. The Greek word money is not mansion. It's not a big building that the Lord Jesus is going to go and build for some of us, as we've always thought. It's Jesus giving a picture of him going to the cross. I will go up and prepare these places for you. So like in him, when he went to the cross, he had created access for us to come into the rooms, the different parts of Christ. We can manifest the different nature and virtues Be part of the different ministry. Be part of the body of Christ. Do you understand why unity with the body of Christ is important? Which is why the devil attacks it. Which is why we go after those kinds of enemies. We pursue and overtake them. We don't allow those things that affect, separate us from brethren. The house of God is Jesus. And we see in Psalm 27 that this was his response to, I think today we talk about gazing on his face, right, in the song. I don't know. There were part of the song that sang, to be close to you. Just look, I don't know, there's a place. Was it Friday? I don't know. Miss me up. This is how, this is the response to enemies. One thing he's asking is to dwell in Jesus. So it seems every enemy attack should push you towards more of Jesus. Do you understand? It shouldn't push you away. It shouldn't make you feel unstable. It should make you find the Lord. It should develop more intimacy. Just like meditating on the words day and night. Because it's the combo. That's it. That's what David will keep saying in Psalm 119. For everything, his response was, oh, that I may know your word. To dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. Next verse. And see the response. For in the day of trouble, he will hide me in his shelter. So to the extent we've not enjoyed God's protection and covering, is to the extent we have dwelt in him. He will conceal me. Some of us, we've been here now, we have warnings like this of battles. But because we've learned to hide ourselves, consistently being obedient, meditating on his words, consistently seeking his, not allowing those battles distract us. You don't look to yourself, oh wow, I'm still like this. No. Ah, God, it prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You keep doing that. Then it's like somehow God protects you. And in the same seasons where everybody is complaining, you don't complain. Just like in a sense God is doing for us as a church, for example, in seasons of famine, of great difficult, things are expensive, right? But do you know how much projects you've done in this season? God is able to do those kinds of things. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be held high above my enemies. Around me at his tabernacle, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Are you seeing other things to do? Huh? Thanksgiving, songs, music to the Lord, shouts of joy. Next. Hear, O Lord, my voice when I call. Be merciful. And answer me. And this is the prayer of some. By listening the response to God's mercy. Read it. Seek his face. Your face, O Lord, I will seek. Are you seeing an answer to God's mercy? You ask God to save you. This is his answer. Seek my face. And your heart responded. Your face, O Lord, I will seek. Now I'm going to explain how you seek. Because it's not just pausing your life and just sitting down one place. Keep going. Hide not your face from me, nor turn away your servant in anger. You have been my helper. Do not leave me or forsake me, O God of my salvation. So, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my oppressor. Are you seeing the same patterns? God teaching you his ways. These are the mindsets to have. In the midst of battles, in the midst of these onslaughts that come to us, one of the signs that you're enjoying God's mercies and have found his face is that more understanding and wisdom comes in the midst of battles. He's teaching you stuff. You're learning, you're growing in insight. He's giving you strategies even more. He's placing you on level path. Verse 12, do not hand me over to the will of my foes. For false witness rise up against me. False witnesses rise up against me. Breathing out violence. Someone say voices. Remember voices? Those false witnesses that rise up within you and start saying things to you. A witness, someone that testifies for something. Those lies They are false because they are not true. It's not true that it's hopeless. It's not true that you can't overcome it. It's not true that the battles are too strong. It's not true that you are stagnant. Have you looked at your life? You're stagnant. So you keep having thoughts, I'm stagnant. Because you found certain factors to define those thoughts. You marked yourself. Have you looked at your life and the battles you've won so far? Have you seen, have you found that God has been good? The things he has helped you overcome even within those seasons. Because your mind is fixed on a particular thing. You forgot and have not seen the Lord's goodness in the other things he has helped you overcome. This we must repent of. False witnesses, voices rise up against you. Verse 13. Still, I am certain to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Are you seeing the heart to have? I will stay at it till I see the goodness of the Lord. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be strong and courageous. Wait patiently for the Lord. As a night watchman waiting for the coming of the dawn, wait patiently. How do you wait? How do we wait? Habakkuk 2 tells you how. He says, I will stand on my rampart, on my watch, at my guard post. I will station myself and I will watch to see, like the night watchman waiting. But why are you, when you're waiting on God, what are the things you expect? As we wait on God for victories for some of these battles that have kept plaguing us, what do we expect? How you should answer when corrected. That means you expect the words of God, the words of correction to you, right? Lamentations 3, verse 21. Go to 20, let's see. Lamentations 3 tells you that it's good to wait on the Lord. And it also adds that, so from verse 25, it says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Keep going. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is still young. Are you understanding some of the yokes we are supposed to bear now? The yoke of learning to wait on God for his words. This often is the yoke that a typical average young man is refused to undergo. So we want to rather decree and declare. We want to rather tell God what we want. We want to complain. We are not willing to wait for his words. Keep going. You see where I'm getting at. Verse 28. Let him sit alone in silence, for God has disciplined him. For God is discipling you. Let him bury his face in the dust. Perhaps there is still hope. That's a state of humility and brokenness. Verse 30. Let him offer his cheek to the one who would strike him. Let him be filled with reproach. Are you seeing what waiting on God entails? Corrections. Words of corrections. Discipline. He says, let him offer his cheek to the one who would strike him. Let him be filled with reproach, with shame. Sometimes this is the thing that affects some of us. A lack of shame. The Bible says of women that women should be shamefaced. Was addressing dressing, that they should be modest and shamefaced. Yes, it's in the Bible. That women should have shame when they dress. So that you dress very recklessly, you can expose your breast and your laps. You don't have shame. I thought you should be ashamed of your body. No, so have you seen what the devil has done? Don't be ashamed of your body. Flaunt the body. Flaunt it, it's God that gave you. Show them. Are you seeing what the devil? You see the devil? Bible says, read it. In like manner also.
With shamefacedness and sobriety, not with burdened hair or gold or pearls or costly array.
Did you see shamefaced? This is a scripture to use and attack all some of these things. The Bible tells you to have shame. Have some shame. Now, but what took me here? You know the picture of a woman? The church of God. The church of God. We have to learn to have shame. Shame when what we wear is not modest. When our covering is not okay. There should be shame. There should be shame. So sometimes this is what affects our repentance. No shame. So it's all this attitude of, well, after all, There is no shame. So you can't go outside the camp like Jesus. He says he will bear his reproach going outside the camp. Show me Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore, the disgrace of our sins and suffering. Verse 14. For here we do not have a permanent city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Some of the things that affect us from coming into that city, that inheritance, the promised land, from leaving the camp, our former state of affairs, is lack of shame. You don't feel shame. So what was this? I remember a young lady, 16-year-old girl, in a place, a school I went to minister in. And I told her, you don't feel shame. I can't remember the sequence of events right now. But I think I knew she had demons. It was clear, very obvious. I told her at first, you have demons. She confessed to some very nasty things. 16-year-old girl. Sorry, she was very bold, saying, there's nothing wrong with this. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with sleeping with a boy or girl. 16-year-old. She told me that in my face. I don't think it's wrong. So, do you know a funny thing? What she thought is wrong is masturbation and pornography. So she wants to be free of masturbation and pornography, but doesn't want to be free of sleeping with boys and girls. I've not seen this confusion before. It was the most confusing story I've heard of people. It was the most confusing story of people, of someone. I've never seen that before. And I think I told her, you don't have shame. So you don't have shame. So that's why you can't feel conviction for your sin. So I told her, come, let me pray. Come. And she refused me to pray for her. But I think when I told her to pray, I said, I want to prove that she had demons. I told her, you see, you have demons. I'll tell you, you have demons. So say, Father, after struggling, she started almost manifesting. But when she agreed to pray, I said, say, Father, help me feel shame for my sin. She refused to pray. Like you could see her mouth go. I said, say it. Say, help me feel shame. I said, I told you, you have demons. Demons don't want you to feel shame for your sin. So you come to a place where certain things are okay. And okay, because there is no shame. We have to be ashamed to uncover our nakedness. Back to Lamentations. And we are about to pray. Let him offer his cheek to the one who will strike him. Let him be filled with reproach. Go back to verse 20. Verse 22. But through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. The Lord is our portion, says our soul. Therefore, we will hope in him. And this will be our prayer this morning. One of the things that will help us to overcome these enemies is a heart to wait on the Lord. And it manifests not only in just sitting down and, I want to fast and pray for 7 days alone. That's not just it. But a heart in mind that is watching for the Lord's word. What has God said about this situation? Some God has already said things clearly. There are clear principles, clear things he has already defined through his word. What is the correction? What is the correction for this situation, for this enemy? What is the correction? What is that which I should give my cheek to be slapped? That is how the Lord satisfies your mouth with good things. Yes. Psalm 103 says, I'll satisfy your mouth with good things. I will renew your strength like the eagle. How is your strength renewed? It's not by waiting on the Lord. As he waited on the Lord, he renewed your strength like an eagle. In the same way, he satisfies your mouth with good things. How does that manifest? He gives you his word. And this is what the devil, so it comes back to the same thing our brother prophesied about. Your shield. Where is it? We will not lose the word of God. We will not lose the word of God that we should have for these situations. We have to reinforce these things. Meditate on it day and night. That's how you wait. It's not just, like I said, till you go on 7 days fasting and prayer. Is that, do you listen for the words of God through that night time? I will wait like a night watchman, waiting for the coming of the dawn, where his mercies can shine on you again. Are you waiting? Are you remembering? Are you reminding yourself of what the Lord says? Are you submitting yourself to others to strike you? Which often are the rebukes that comes from scripture. This is what the Lord wants us as emphasized in the prophetic word. This is how we will be able to push back. I hope you heard the word that they will keep coming and they will keep coming again. You heard that, right? He says, I'll keep coming. How did he even say it again? I can't remember. Remember how he specifically said it. Did we note it? They will come back. Do you think it's just by going for the word? They will still come back again. So it's almost like a mockery. Like, we will like fight. We will come back. But what will maintain our stand is by consistently placing that shield. You know, the example I often like to use, an example pastor has taught us over the time, the shield of faith, how it often works. Like you keep using it. You keep using the words of God over a situation. You keep saying it consistently, constantly. A time comes, that same thing. So let's say your shield was first like a little, as small as this. But as you kept exercising faith, as you kept building faith, oh wow, I just remembered one of the things the Lord, even before this meeting, I pray about, is to build faith. So he wants to build faith. So it's interesting the prophetic word came. I heard it's like, build faith. I want to build faith in your people. I want to build faith in you. Because some of you have, your faith is failing. Some of your faith needs to be replenished, restored. So it's interesting again, even last Sunday, faith. So it's like a shield, a small thing. You keep, it may look small at first. The attack comes, hits you, and it's very strong. It's very strong. Oh, you feel the pressure. But as you keep exercising faith, as you keep building faith, the shield keeps growing, till the same attack that once would shake you comes and hits you. And it's like the true stone on a wall. Do you understand? This is where the Lord wants to take us to. Because to be honest, these battles, they don't necessarily disappear. That's not how it works. Don't allow anyone to deceive you. In case you are here, you never heard it before. This is your first time. There's nothing like, as you come to the Lord God, everything will disappear. You suddenly just stop thinking about lust. So suddenly just stop being, you don't become a saint. Transform like Shrek. You know, you watch Shrek, right? Just transform into beautiful prince. That's not how it works. God loves to teach his people to war. So this is where many people get tired. They are tired of going to war. But you will not be part of the last day company who God will use to contend for faith in the world, if you've not learned to contend for faith in your life. Do you understand? Do you understand this? I don't know if there are any questions. Because we are about to pray. To complete that first prayer we didn't complete. Any questions? Alright. That was a very bad prayer. Okay. Pass the mic to her.
To explain. So you said you were going to explain how you seek the Lord. Like you don't just sit at once and ignore other aspects of your life. How you're going to seek the Lord?
I think I did. Didn't I? I did not. So some were sleeping, some were half asleep. Some heard me in their subconscious. When I said that you wait, when you're waiting to hear his words. That's how you seek the Lord. For his words. You saw it. Didn't you see it? In Psalm 27. One thing I desired as I seek. To dwell in your house. To dwell in him. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. So, one of the ways is by reminding yourself of God's words. That's how you seek the Lord. You're wanting to hear his words. To behold the beauty of his grace. What does his grace do? teaches you to deny ungodliness. So one of the ways he sends his grace is that he sends his word. You understand? I hope I've answered you. Any other question? All right. Let's stand to our feet and complete our prayer from morning. So that's a very important. So we had the Lord confirm his words to us. This is the yoke we must bear. It's good to bear your yoke in your youth. Just like it's good to remember the Creator in the days of your youth. So you can say that one of the yokes we face in our youthful times is remembering the Creator. Remembering his words. Remembering his principles. It's not remembering the Creator is not just, oh, I know God. No, it's remembering him, his words, his principles. A youth. When he says, it's good to bear your yoke in your youth. Remember, youth does not just mean a young person alone. The Bible defines a youth. In fact, that Ecclesiastes 12 tells you, not when your eyes are dim, not when your ears are hard of hearing. You can't hear the voice sounds on the streets, the different things, beautiful patterns in that Ecclesiastes 12. So, youthfulness is a phase where you are able to receive the Lord's words and have understanding. The Bible tells you in Deuteronomy chapter 4, it says, this is your understanding and your wisdom, that you are careful to observe his laws. Put it out. Deuteronomy 4. He defines that as wisdom and understanding. He says, observe them carefully, for this will show you. Not like how Deuteronomy put it. For this is, read it, your wisdom. Your understanding.
Hear all the statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.
How do you wage war? Proverbs 24, verse 5 to 6. A wise man is a man of knowledge,
increases strength.
For by wise counsel,
you wage your own war.
And multitude of counselors,
there is safety.
Wisdom and understanding. Are you seeing how it comes? You're asking for wisdom and trying to fight your battles. Oh God, I seem I'm out of wisdom. I don't know what to do. Focus on observing the laws that are clear. Observe the one that is clear to you. Don't do that. You're complaining about your battles while you're staying back from church meetings. The law that is clear to you is go to church. Be in church. The one that is clear to you is confess your sin. Acknowledge your wrong. They are declared things to observe. Separate from that relationship. Stop. Leave social media for now. Disappear from it. Delete it and block it. Don't just go off. Change your password. Just carry your phone. Type. Copy. Put in confirm password. And let it go. Observe his laws. Everything that hinders you, observe it. Then you will begin to have wisdom and understanding that wages war. Are you understanding? These are the principles of God. To be honest, it's nothing I've said is really new, if you think about it. I'm just showing you further again from scripture, just how much scriptures are full of this one principle. You know, it's just man, God made man simple, but we complicated things. We made this battle, we've exalted them too seriously, too much. But sometimes it's the simplest things, basic principles. Be faithful. Be accountable. Don't presume. Seek counsel. Don't say I tried once or twice. Stay at it till you get solutions. Some of these things, this is how often many battles are won. Very simply. And you know, we are approaching Passover. I hope you know, as a church, we celebrate these seasons. Not because it's Jewish festival, but the Bible calls them the Feast of God. So often we've noticed at these seasons, things happen. And we are approaching Passover again. A season of repentance. It's probably why the Lord is passing us through this, because warfare, different things, onslaughts probably are coming. And Lord is giving opportunities to rend our hearts again, so that we can fight the battles of the wilderness. Let's just thank God for the things we've heard. Father, we thank you for your reminders. Thank you, Lord God, for reminding us. Amen. Let's thank God for his work of salvation in our lives first. Let's really appreciate him for that. See what he saved us from. Hittites, Amorites. Just give God praise. We don't understand. That's the truth. Many of us, we don't fully understand. We do never have thought about it. The much work that the blood of Jesus has done for us. What he washed you of. And what he's still washing you of. Hittites, Amorites, Sodom natures, Samaritan nature, Samarian natures. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Amen. Now, we summarized everything. We saw everything. And everything fell back. The prophetic word went ahead of us. Our shield. Our faith, the words of God, which often will come to us as we learn to seek and wait on him for it. As we learn to position our gaze like the night watchman, looking in a direction for his words to answer when you are corrected. Let's ask the Lord to help this be our desire, like the psalmist said. Pray. Father, we are asking. Help us. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Father, we have so much help. Oh, Lord God. Ask God to forgive you for being hasty in his presence, for being hasty with his words, for treating his words lightly, despising them. Thank you, Father. Now, once again, we'll have another opportunity to gaze on the Lord God, this song, with light in you. And as you are singing this song, you will again ask the Lord to build faith. Let the beauty of his grace shine on us, that we may find grace for this time of need. We delight in you, ooh.
Oh Lord. We delight in you,
ooh.
Oh Lord,
light in you,
we delight in you,
ooh.
Oh Lord, we delight in you,
ooh.
Oh Lord.
I want you to understand something. As you're singing, my prayer is that the Lord will begin to help you find the light again. Some of you have lost the light in the Lord. You've lost the ability to delight, the joy of your salvation. He says that he will restore. The psalmist prayed that prayer. He said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within me. Cast me not away from my presence, but don't take a spirit from me, but restore the joy of salvation. There's a joy that comes from knowing the Lord. A delight that we some had once had, but may be dwindling as the day goes by. And yes, you may still be having some work, some fruits, but you've lost the delight of the Lord. And so you can't enjoy the fullness of his grace. You're gazing on his beauty, on his delight. That's another way the Bible puts it. The delight. That's another understanding of that scripture. His delight. So we are, as we are singing, I want you to have understanding that the Lord should restore his delight. A delight. A delight for him. So don't just sing it. Don't sing it sleepily. You're asking God because it's in his face. It's as your heart things and delights in him at all times, in all situations. When the enemies come, you're finding his delight. The enemy comes and tries to quench that light. But if you bear with it, the delight of the Lord, then there is grace within. And this is why Paul will pray that you will be strengthened in your inner man by his spirit through Christ Jesus, which dwells rooted in faith. So your inner man may be feeling weak. Weakness. Just because faith is slowly slipping away. So as you're singing this, you're, Lord, I delight in you. And what will happen is that there will be strengthening in your inner man. That's the promise. That was the prayer of Paul. He said that you will be strengthened in your inner man by his spirit, which builds faith. So we've heard the words of God now. But now we are asking the Lord, as we receive your words through faith, as we believe it, Lord, strengthen my inner man. Why? Because so you can be able to comprehend with the sense, the width, depth, length, and height, to know the love of God, which surpasses all understanding, to be filled with the fullness of God. This is what we stand to gain. This is what the enemy is taking away from us. The fullness of God. The love of God and the brethren. This is why we need a strengthening from within. Lord Jesus, we delight in you. Lord Jesus, oh Lord.
Oh Lord. We delight in you.
Lord God, we pray.
Oh Lord.
Father, Lord, come.
We delight in you.
Lord God, shine your light.
Oh Lord.
Lord God, restore the light.
We delight in you.
Let enemies take flight.
Oh Lord.
Lord, restore our sight.
We delight in you.
Shine, Lord, so bright.
Oh Lord.
Restore our eyes.
We delight in you.
Lord God, show us your light.
Oh Lord.
We stand.
Oh.
Jesus. You are faithful and true.
We delight in.
Oh God, you're full of awesome truth.
Oh Lord,
we delight in you.
We delight in you.
Even give us what to say.
Oh Lord,
we delight in you.
We delight in you.
You're kind in every way.
Oh Lord,
we delight in you.
We delight in you.
The lifter of our hearts.
Oh
Lord, oh Lord,
we delight in you.
You make me wanna shout. Delight in the Lord, just
oh Lord,
Lord God, with the light,
in you
is breaking cages.
Oh Lord,
da, 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 da.
Delight in
just delight
you.
Before the Lord. Flows get about
all.
Restore to my heart this food.
Like
restore, Lord, the joy of salvation.
Oh, ah.
If you are here and you've not been saved,
like
you don't know the joy of salvation. Apparently, I've never felt it. Ah. Listen, you've not felt the joy of salvation before. You're saved, you're born again, but you're not sure you can say, I have the joy to even ask God to restore. I'm going to pray for you. And even those of us here, you've had it, but it's like you can't find it, the joy of salvation, the joy. That youth, that childlike joy. That joy of meeting Jesus. Imagine having that constantly. You meet him constantly. We lose it because, again, you're losing sight of him. When you see Jesus, he's full of joy. He's full of joy. I'm going to pray. I want you to focus and ask God. God, restore the joy of salvation. Help me feel joy. The time we had angels tickle us. Oh God, send your angels. Touch hearts, Lord God, restore joy here. Lord, restore your joy. Yes, Jesus.
Restore joy of salvation. Restore joy in our hearts. It's been a while, you don't know how to laugh. Your heart's not filled with joy so much. You wondered. Lord God, restore joy. As the delight in you. Restore Lord joy now. Restore joy. Let them experience your kingdom in this place. It's full of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. You need to pray in the Spirit. Let joy come. The joy of the Lord. It's your strength. That's why you're failing, because you don't have His joy. The joy of the Lord. It is your strength. Lord God, restore joy. The joy of the Lord. It's your strength. When you're weak, you've not learned to find joy. Yes, Lord God. Sing songs of joy over your mind. Restore, attune your heart. Let your calibrations be set to the joy of the Lord. Yes, God. Angels of joy, come play songs, drive away the evil spirits. The evil spirits that torment your soul nature. Lord, play your harp, play it over our minds. Sing songs of joy. Today, Father, restore the joy of knowing you. Ha! You found yourself complaining. Oh, ask for His joy. He is full of joy. It's in His presence you can find it. And here you are. You're in His presence. Receive joy. Lord God, PS2. Songs of joy. Psalms of joy. Saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance, to bind kings with chains, to execute judgments. This is what joyful saints can enjoy. Lord God, restore joy. Restore joy here. This is waiting on the Lord. And one of the things, remember His words. He is sending joy. This is what the Lord wants to give us. The joy of the Lord, that is your strength. Oh, heaviness will be gone. Oh, if you look, you will see. Lord, wherever we are, let joy touch. Joy of the Lord we receive. That's how He's strengthening you in your inner man by your spirit. It's the joy of the Lord that's your strength. Canada, receive joy in your heart, joy in your heart. Let it overflow. Joy in your heart. The joy of the Lord is the stronger man. It's coming in and binding every strong thing. The joy of the Lord, the stronger man in our hearts. Of joy, there's something called rivers of joy. Right now, Lord God, rivers of joy overflow from within. Rivers of joy, rivers of joy spring from within. Rivers of joy spring from within. Cleansing rivers of joy. Kanabaya shigadigada. Gemle deigada badabadabadaba shigadabada. Enda yeigadabada. Exubra deigadada. Hindu deika deigada yashadada. Rimba deika dei. As the day gada, end of the day gada, ni gada da, day da da ye. Do a new thing, Lord. It's the joy that leads you to battles. Lord God, the joy that leads us in the face of battles. It's the joy of the Lord that gives us the strength through battles. Teach us, Lord God, to fight with joy. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord God, for the beauty of your face. To gaze before you is wonderful.
To kneel before your face. To say that you are beautiful. Every hour, every day. To stand before you.
Lord God,
to come before you is wonderful. To kneel before your face. To say that you are beautiful. Every hour, every day.
Stand before you.
Of you that somehow looked at, went through all of this and didn't say anything. If I am you, all I'll just say is, oh Lord, I'm giving you the last chance.
Oh Lord.
It's not difficult. All we are saying is, just say, oh Lord. If you don't have what to say, just say, oh Lord, save us.
Oh Lord, oh Lord, help me to Jesus. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord.
Thank you for the beauty of your holiness. Oh Lord, our God. Look upon us, Lord God. And show us your mercy. Through your mercies, we are not consumed. God, look upon us. May we not be consumed. Lord Jesus, everyone, Lord God, that has already been consumed, that has already been eaten up, things eating into them, their souls, things have been eating. Father, right now, let the beauty of your holiness rest. Let it rest, Lord Jesus. Consume the things that consumes us. Oh, the consuming fire, consume the things that consume us. Consume with your fire, Lord Jesus, by your mercies. Lord, in this onslaught of lust, every daddy gada, consume lust. Burning fires. Lord Jesus, consume. Consume. May we not be consumed. Lord Jesus, your mercies. Your mercies. Your mercies. Your mercies. Your mercies. Burn you every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness to others who hope. Lord, we hope in you. The Lord is our portion. Our soul says that you are our portion. Onslaughts of discontentment. Consume, O God. Consume onslaughts of discontentment. Onslaughts.
Hidigadigada, enemies of discontentment, consume them from our lives. Consume enemies of frustration and depression. Forgive us, Lord, for anxiety. Consume, Lord Jesus. Consume these enemies. By your fire, O God, kede gidi gadaya shigada, ekvere badoba siga digada, yigende brento ba shitaya, viva gembre tobo zigadi, vele gende gidi gada, kadi daya shitata. Enemies of impatience, Lord Jesus, consume. Candidada. Impatience, Lord God, and indiscipline. Gadigada yashitata. Consume, Lord Jesus. Consume that which consumes us. By your mercies, we wait on you. We've waited on you. Lord God, strengthen. Lord God, strengthen. Lord Jesus, hide us under your covering. Repair, Lord God, the broken walls. Repair and expose every broken wall. Embrete gabara cumbra te gabuja brinda que dada vera cumbre te guzas kindicada. Let our walls be healed. Kill, Lord Jesus, the snake. Kill deception. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Teach us to wage good war. Teach us to wage good war. Thank you, Father. Enemies of selfishness, Father, I'm asking that you consume. Consume here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's just give God thanks. Father, we thank you for the victories we find in His face. Victory over blindness and deafness. Thank you, Father. One last thing. Father, I'm asking that every spirit, every dumb spirit at work in the lives of some here, unable to say and believe, spirits of dumbness connected to unbelief that makes it unable to say that the Lord is, that the Lord can. Father, I'm asking your mercy. You consume that spirit. Forgive, Lord God, for open doors through listening to false witnesses and sin. Father, I'm asking, Lord Jesus, that that spirit of dumbness that prevents us from lifting our mouths to say and declare the Lord's goodness be broken here. Amen. Rebuke you. Be gone from our midst.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. May we learn to say thank you. Everything that has made saying thank you, Lord, hard. It's been long you found yourself saying, thank you, Lord. Father, I'm asking for mercy.
Amen.
I ask for deliverance.
Amen.
Forgiveness for ingratitude. Lord Jesus, Kadibadaya, Shiga Digidigadaya, Sika Teka Teka Tupran Tikata. Forgiveness for ingratitude. Candidada. May a sin not remain. Kedubrandidada Shitata. May leprosy not come back because of ingratitude. Membre to Jabrantika Teka Prento Pusis Kadidaya. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I hope you're saying thank you. Thank you, Father. Amen. You can have your seat. So again, that's a classic. Maybe I say a practice example of waiting on God and He's sending His word. So as you wait on God, He begins to address specific things. He finds things that often can be hidden, things you will not think of, and He addresses. That's how He sends His word. That's how He sends His help. So He sends words. He gives you words to say, things to how to answer. One last prayer. Sorry, close your eyes. Father, I'm asking in this space, every attack of witchcraft calculated towards us, every manipulations of the enemy, the wicked one, over this space, over our lives. Father, we ask for your mercy. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus. We cast you away. You and your cohorts, every manipulation in anyone's life here, unnecessary attacks over this house as a whole, Lord Jesus, attacks over this house. Father, I'm asking in your mercy that you put a shield up for us. May we not lose our shield as a house. Restore our shield. We push back the attacks of the enemy. We bend their bow. We break it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for you are the Lord who gives our arm strength. Thank you, Father. Amen.
We pray you receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and an understanding heart. Remember, test all things and hold fast to what is good. For more information, visit our website at gods-lighthouse.org.